Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you're ready to hear some good stuff. Sage Place presents Radio Revelations and I can't say that.
You know, I was telling somebody the other day that I decided to change the name of our show to My Sage Place, Revelations and Revelry Radio.
Revelry.
And that you were having a really hard time with that.
Ruh-roh.
And I decided that it was just Scooby-Doo all over because it's revelry, but it's hard to say. So maybe we
Reverly.
It's just such a fun word.
Reverly?
Reverie.
Is it like Beverly? Beverly, but Reverly.
I think I'm going to change the name again to something different.
Welcome to Reverly.
It's just fun.
No,
welcome to Revelations and fun.
I just can't say Reverly for some reason.
Oh, it was pretty cute. Hi, Iggy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. What a crazy week.
Welcome, everybody. Yeah, it has been a crazy week. So we hope that you're able to stick around with us for a little bit. We're going to be talking, you know, about what's been going on, what's happening, and she's going to interview me a little bit on a few things, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Hopefully some call-ins.
Yep.
We have a number, which is
646-595-3440.
For those of you who would like to call in, ask questions, or comment, as long as they're really nice, positive, upbeat comments, we are really tired of hate speech these days. So just putting that out there, kind of hurt my heart lately. So we had, on last week's show, we certainly told people that they could call in and ask for topics, you know, things that they might want to hear us talk about.
Right.
And one of the things that somebody called in and asked about that we would talk about was chakras. And I'm sure most of you probably listening have an idea of what chakras are. So I just thought that I would share this. Hopefully the person who asked this about chakras is listening, and I thought I would just kind of put this out there to give you a general idea of what we're talking about when we talk about chakras. So I just often say, have you ever played a musical instrument? Do you have an ear that can hear tones, notes, pitch? Then you know when something's out of balance or out of tune, okay? This is the same way that our bodies work. Imagine that you have these keys. I call them keys. Just picture a piano or any instrument that you might play that has keys that send out certain, you know, a certain frequency or pitch or a note or a tone.
Mm-hmm.
And these keys are in a constant state of humming, you know, which keeps a certain level of vibration. Oh, excuse me. I want to sneeze and I can't get out. It keeps our body in a certain vibrational mode. Now, imagine that someone dropped a really ugly F-bomb on you, or told you that you were worthless, or you would, another favorite is always, you'll never amount to a hill of beans.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot. You know, words are important. So imagine how your heart would feel when you hear those things. You might be hurt, you may cry, you may reduce your own self-worth. You may actually believe this, what I call hate speech, because I don't know what else to call that kind of speech other than hate.
Right.
So now imagine that the keys inside your body that generate the energy and the pitch to keep your heart intact or your emotions intact, do you really think that that remained unscathed or unhurt? It didn't. It changed your pitch. It changed your tone. It changed the note in your heart. And now you are out of balance. These keys are what we call chakras. Just another name for a key, an energy center in your body. And there are lots of these keys or chakras in your body. Actually, there are tons of them. And healers talk about the main 13 a lot. But most energy workers, they work on the big seven, what we call the big seven or eight, because you also have the high heart in there, which we work on as well. These chakras or keys are very real. They are extremely important. And without learning how to balance them and keep them healthy, we tend to fall apart. We tend to believe the hate that is thrown our way.
Yeah.
And we become what we call diseased. You get diseases.
Yes.
This is where I think a lot of our diseases come from. So it's important. It's important to keep our bodies balanced. And that's about all I'm going to say about chakras, because I just want to throw this out there that we actually hold workshops, and a lot of people do, and I certainly do, and we teach folks about chakras, the places in our bodies that our chakras are connected to, what they govern, so to speak, you know, what part of our body, you know, and our auric fields and things like that. So if you want to learn how to balance your chakras, or you want to learn how to feel and heal, you know, you should seek out some classes to take about things such as this and help yourself. But that is the basic idea of what a chakra is all about. Energy center to the body.
Chakra Khan.
Oh, here we go again.
Chakra Khan. Chakra Khan.
We should have had music for that. It's some good music for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was that. You had a class this past week.
Yeah, we had an introduction to urban shamanism.
Urban shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
Great class, by the way. Good participants.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell a little bit about what it is? Because you have another one coming up.
Yeah, there's... Well, let me tell you first what's coming up so you know what's happening, that
oh,
we
okay.
have an idea.
Sure.
There is a sweat lodge this Saturday. Okay, so that entails, you know, medicine man work and shamanic work as well. And then on Sunday, we have the grief drumming at Kobacker House. That's at 2 p.m. And then later on that afternoon, we have the 6 to 9, we have the second part of our class, introduction, but it's part two
mm-hmm.
of the shaman class. So
of this urban shamanism,
yep.
part two.
Yeah, urban shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
2.0.
Right.
So 2.0. But before that, you have to take one before you take two, because it would make sense. It doesn't make any sense if you don't take it. You'll just be kind of lost. In the first class, we teach pretty much how we're connected to everything around us, what connection means, what your perception is and what you think your perception is versus what, you know, we're actually seeing, and how we actually deal with people, and how you're able to let your guard down a little bit and not to be so caught in the process and allow the process to happen naturally
mm-hmm.
versus trying to let somebody dictate it. Because it's real easy, you know, especially when you're new to this, you're trying to force it a little bit because you're new and you're trying to do it right. But you know what? There is no right or wrong. You just do it and everything works its way out. And, you know, that was pretty simple. And the biggest thing was just being able to see the other person and connect with the other person is the most powerful thing. Being able to look them in the eye and be able to hear them, you know, understand them at a higher level, and also as a level here we are right here in this 3D world, being able to connect with them. Because it's so easy to assume and presume
mm-hmm.
that things are happening, but when we start to look, we start to tap in, we start to realize we're really looking at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In this shamanic practice, in the shamanic ritual that we're doing. So, and it's all about being open to the process and being hollow bone.
It's really good stuff, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to you touched base on something that I wanted to know more about. Help me. The sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Kobacker grief
mm-hmm.
drumming is absolutely beautiful. For those of you who don't know what the Kobacker House is, it was built, I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
The Kobacker, I think maybe it was a little bit longer now. But,
oh,
yeah.
Man, time flies,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's...
They were building that, yes, and I was taking care of a beautiful gentleman that's been gone a lot longer than 4 years, and
mm-hmm.
it just seems like it was yesterday. So anyhow, Kobacker House was built and is a I'm an end-of-life doula, so it's a really beautiful place for me because it's a place where people can go to die.
Mm-hmm.
And with dignity and honor and what I believe, mm-hmm. what I believe we all have a right, an innate right to do, is to be born and live and die with dignity and honor. And so what Iggy does, may I?
Sure.
What Iggy does.
How you see it. How you perceive it.
I will. I would love to do that.
Okay. Good.
You know me. I mean, I love to talk, so here we go.
Go ahead.
So anyhow, Iggy is a beautiful drummer. It is his gift, one of his gifts, certainly, in this lifetime. And drumming, as most of you know, is very therapeutic. It's very cathartic. And so people who are grieving, albeit today, yesterday, you know, grieving from something years ago, or it just happened, it doesn't matter. Grief is still grief in any time period, wherever time is. And so drumming is a wonderful way to release and to have support in that grief, to have people that understand you and understand your rhythm, your beat. Because grief does have its own sound. It has its own beat. Grief might look different to everybody, but grief isn't different to everybody. Grief is the same, actually, for everybody. It might sound different. It might have different names. It might have a different story behind it. But the emotion itself is still the emotion, and that is the same for everybody. So it has its own frequency. It has its mm-hmm. own beat. And so when you have a drummer like Iggy who knows that rhythm of that grief, and he can penetrate into that, and he can kind of change the revelry.
Mm-hmm.
Those R's are getting us.
Mm-hmm.
Change that beat a little bit and infuse it with what we call a lighter frequency or a more upbeat frequency that helps to diffuse would be a good word. It's almost like biology. What is it? Osmosis. You know, it's almost like osmosis, because he can diffuse some of that dark energy, that grief energy, and just by listening to his rhythm and getting into that rhythm, because your body will naturally just get into that rhythm, and your heart will beat in that rhythm, and so it brings you up. It helps you lighten up your vibration where you're sitting. And it's very sacred. It's very holistic. It's very healing. It's very cathartic. It's very therapeutic. It is certainly recommended by grief counselors. Every grief counselor I know would recommend drumming or being part of a support drumming group. So anyhow, just thought I'd throw that out there because it is a beautiful thing. And if you have any grief inside of you, please, you know, come to the Kovacker Grief Support Center down by Riverside Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said grief, any kind of grief, because usually the people who are from Kovacker usually are people who lost somebody. But you're right. Grief comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, forms. So this is loss of relationship, loss of, mm-hmm. you know, friendships, you know, your dog, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
any kind of grief.
Yeah.
Anything that you need to release and drum that out. This is what happens, you know. So I'm there. My friends, Dave and Adriana and Mary, sometimes they will come and assist me in that process, and I'm really grateful for them because they've always been really good in the drumming work that we do. And so it's really powerful because you're right. You have to connect with the frequency and the vibrations that are happening there mm-hmm. and what's going on. Not everybody. I give them a lot of credit for being very courageous to open themselves up to that process. Especially when they think it's a celebration, and sometimes we don't want to celebrate
right.
someone's loss, but it's more of some remembering.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to remember, to honor, to respect ourselves in the process. It's time for us to, you know, not to let go and not to forget. It's for us to honor that person's life and remember that. So
it is.
That drumming is very powerful, and I've been doing it for almost 3.5 years now, and so it's been a good thing. You know, I've met, you know, some really good people, and mm-hmm. I've met people who've never drummed in their life ever, you know. And then one of my one of my coolest memories is we had one young man. I call him young man. He's like 90-some years old. But we call him young man. But, you know, this gentleman, he lost his wife. It was, what, a year ago from that time? And he never drummed before, and so they encouraged him to come.
Nice.
And he came to, like, almost four or five of these over the course of where his wife, she passed away. But he was learning, and so he was really hesitant, but we made it fun, you know, because humor is important too. So humor is a big part of the medicine and the work I do. Mm-hmm. And then he kept coming back, and then finally he called himself a drummer. Well, he also passed away, and in his obituary, it had mentioned that he became a drummer later in life.
Oh, wow.
So it was really, like,
isn't
cool.
That awesome?
And my hair and my arms are standing up because
right.
It's like, you know, you don't know.
Mm-mm.
In the work that you do, in this type of work, this field, and, you know, this engagement that we have with my stage plays, where anything that we do, you know, my drumming, you just, when you read those things, you hear those things, you start to become, you melt, because
yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, this is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that was, they left with something that was valuable and important,
right.
You know, they healed their piece and part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the work's never ends.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear stories like that, it just makes me really happy, and it makes me sad too, because, you know, poor guy died. But we all have that journey. That's all our ticket. So
that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
I was grieving.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. I was in a state of grief because I was in Ohio for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
and yet my community is on the West Coast. You know, the
mm-hmm.
people that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I don't love people here. I said that wrong, I think. But but my children and my grandchildren and my support group in the business that I had built and all of those things are all on the West Coast. And I missed that. I missed community. I missed my drumming. I missed all of the things that are familiar to me. And I longed for it. And I think I've told this story before, but very briefly, I just asked, and it was shown to me, this drum circle that was up in Worthington someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, okay. So I don't question anymore. I just do most of the time. And I went to that drum circle, and you put that on, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was yours.
With Divine's Place. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I said, I just needed community. I just was grieving. I was grieving, you know, missing them. That's a form of grief. That's a form of loss for me. Although I get to see them, you know, someday, you know, hopefully, but I don't have that daily interaction. I don't have that touch.
Mm-hmm.
Touch is important. You know, contact, human contact is critically important. And so, you know, when we survive, that's one thing, but when we thrive, that's what we're supposed to do. And I wasn't thriving. And so it is important to have community so that you can have people that hug you and that you can hug.
Mm-hmm.
And people who get to know you and they like you. And not only do they like you, but they have they love you now. And as brothers and sisters, you know, in the common goal of, you know, peacemakers or light walkers or whatever
mm-hmm.
we are, you know, which I'm all of those and then some. And to be able to hear, oh, I love you, you know, and that is so important, and it's critical. It's just critical. So if you don't have that, come and join us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're too far away, you know, let us know where you're at. We will find a group for you. We don't want anybody to suffer that kind of loneliness. We want you to have community. And don't ever be afraid to ask somebody. Please. You know, I've been turned down a million times, but... You know, you'll find that right group of people. You will find them, and they will want you. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's the Kobacker House. That's the grief, and then the sweat that's coming is, I think we all know about that.
It's from noon to six. It's on 161. If you want to find more information about that, you can go to my website, egangarcia.com, or on Facebook, you can message me something. But that's more, this sweat coming up is a mixed sweat. It's male and female sweat. And it's to the Nemenha tradition. So for those of you who don't know Nemenha tradition, get a hold of me and I can talk a little bit about that. But yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. And then the Shaman 2.0. That
and
class.
I have a class coming up August 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Is an introductory or fundamentals of energy medicine, biofield science, slash healing arts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out about that on My Sage Place on Facebook. Do you have that posted on your website?
Yeah. My,
you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or agarcia.com.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find it on my website because it's not up there yet. I think it still says something from like a year ago. It's really horrible. I do have a business. It's called a Kind Human Company, kindhumanco.com, which is a huge website.
She's kind.
I am kind. And I am a kind. Not sure what kind I am, but I'm a kind.
Hands up.
And I get so busy with that I just don't take time to do what I should. So that's my excuse. If anybody wants to help me, I am really open for help. Just thought I'd throw that out there for the heck of it.
Yeah,
see
not,
what universe
I'm
brings
not much
me.
Help.
Well,
I'm just stealing.
You know, it's good to have help. So what else were we talking about? We said we were going to talk about some other things tonight, but I'm not sure I remember what. Yes,
well,
I do. Light.
Light. We were going to talk about light.
We were going to talk about light. What is light? Okay.
And what is light? Light.
Light. So, you know me. I'm kind of wacky. The crazy mind. I have the craziest mind, folks. So, I wrote this one time, and for some reason, we were talking about light, and I remembered it, and I thought that I would share it with you, and then we could go from there, because I want to share with you something that Iggy shared with me this week, and I just think it's so awesome that I want to share some of it with you, with his blessing. So, when people talk about being blessed, sometimes I think it's a cliche, yet other times I feel humbled hearing the word. Most of the time I feel humbled. What constitutes blessed, and is it always just like an adjective? Is it a word that should be private because it's an intimate word or shared with the world, like I share my singing, you know, like glory, glory, glory. I love that. I've tried to have themes or certain words for each new year that I kind of try to live by, and I've had embrace your grace, which I really love. I still love that one, embrace your grace. And then I had joy and laughter. That was my theme for the year, was joy and laughter. And then I had I'm so grateful and I'm so blessed, which I still am, of course.
Sure.
And I talked about this one last week, which was wounds are where the light comes in. Never seal them off again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we started talking about,
right.
The light.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's that word again, light. Okay. And for me, quite frankly, I see light everywhere. It surrounds me. But it also goes through me. And it's so bright, it's so white, it's so pure that I almost can't describe it sometimes. And I believe that if we could see love, I think that this is what it would look like. It would be the brightest white light ever. Now, there to me is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm just so silly. I said, is it a noun now?
A noun now.
Yeah. And if I'm so blessed, does it become a verb? I don't know. Maybe light is all, whatever that means. Maybe we should strive to become as translucent as possible to show the light that we are willing to be the conduit of love, which is what I want to be. That's my desire. I want to be a conduit of love, of the light. I want to have every eye that sees me able to look right through me and shield their eyes from the bright light. And I want others to want the same, and I want them to clamor towards the light, to put their hand in the light, and to feel the peace of what I call being home, because that's how it makes me feel, that kind of love, that kind of acceptance, that kind of unconditional, whatever that is. So anyhow, I want y'all to check out this song that Iggy and Adriana collaborated on, and Iggy's perform. It's called, to me, it's about light. And it's called Do You Believe? Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about the power of love, which I call light. And I'm just putting this out there. I know you'll probably hurt me. Adriana probably will too. But Iggy has written many, many songs and performs them. He has this beautiful voice that, quite frankly, I'm very envious of because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I just, you know, I just want you to sit back and relax and enjoy it because we're going to play you this song. Do you believe?
I believe.
Okay. We'll, will you play us the song?
We'll play it and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Hopefully, those of you who can't hear, I'll post it online. If it doesn't come out good then on the radio. So here we go.
Just sweet. And for those of you who got to hear it, I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. It, quite frankly, has so much depth and so much light, so much love. So I just hope you ring us up, 646-595-3440, and share some of our stories. I want you to tell us about the song, if you would, please.
Yeah, I put the link on there on the in the forum there so you can check it out. I don't believe Jan's going to be able to do her send it to hers, but because we're doing a dual thing.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but I'll tell you about the song. We sometimes Adrian and I just get together, and we just write stuff and just mess up with the different musics and the tones. There was a lot going on. When was that? That was a couple years ago, I believe. Was that a couple years ago or just 2016? So it was kind of around the presidential elections and all that stuff. There was a lot happening. There was a lot of stuff. There was just that tone. It was just, everything was just really heightened. Everybody, it was like, you were either on this side or you were either on this side. There was no middle ground. At least if there was, it was very little. It was very small. You didn't get to see it. No matter how much you wanted to be neutral, it was hard to be neutral. And so she calls me. She says, "Hey, you know, I'm writing this song because I really want to make this." I'm trying to think how we actually did. She just told me she was really kind of frustrated with everything, and so she wrote this song about the words were really cool that I wrote. You know, I was talking about, and I could see the frustration in her face about how things were going on in the world, and so she wanted just to write something that was really positive and something that was really meaningful. And so she wrote that. We changed a few things, and I added the music to it, some of the tracks and the drums to it. And that's how we came up with the song, you know, Do You Believe? That, you know, there's hope. It was about being hopeful to bring in love to the world and everything that's going on in it. Because right now, even right now, it's kind of difficult, but there's always hope. There's always a chance to do something. There's always, you always have that place. And we worked on that song for quite some time because it, you know, we made different versions of it, like where she sings it or she talks it and I sing it and vice versa. But she has a beautiful voice too.
She does, yeah. Indeed. I definitely know that.
And when she sings it, mm-hmm. bring it up sometime. But yeah, she reached out. She wanted to write a song. She wrote a song, and then she wanted me to put music to it. So I put music to it. Then we collaborated on it, and we changed a few things. And that's how we came out with that song.
It's a beautiful song. It truly is, and it just speaks to your heart. It mm-hmm. speaks to, you know, your belief in a higher power, you know, which is the love and light to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just all there is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm interested on everybody else's take. Any mm-hmm. questions, any phone calls, we would love to take them.
It was a real emotional song.
I was going to say, you have a lot of emotional songs. I
yeah.
mean, you shared a lot with me. We're going to have to get that out because mm-hmm. I think people would really, really appreciate what you have to offer.
Yeah, I wrote a song about 500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was today.
Oh, yeah?
That song is, I won't play it today because you can actually follow the links and find it. But that song was about being in North Dakota
mm-hmm.
during the time when they were having the pipeline.
Yeah, Standing Rock.
So I wrote this song about what would they remember 500 years ago
right.
about that incident.
500 years from now?
Today, 500 years later into the
right.
future.
Okay.
But I made it sound like it's today, like that
okay.
happened a long time ago.
Oh, I see.
So what would they remember,
mm-hmm.
you know? Of course, the song is about the things I experienced and things that I went through and the things that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I sang it the way I did. That song took me, I wrote that all in one night when I came back. I just remember
it's
all the.
It's a great song.
Yeah, and it talks about, you know, the sacred waters, about the black snake. It's about the people who suffered and all the things that were going on there. So you can check that song out. So it's pretty deep. And towards the end, it got a little bit choppy because I was kind of like just adding things at the end because I'm still working on that song.
Mm-hmm.
But the first half of it is pretty solid, what I was trying to get across.
Good stuff, Iggy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good work out there. I like that.
That's my job.
I
wouldn't pass it over anything.
Oh, my goodness. What else are we talking about today? I don't know about you, but I feel very what's that word I'm looking for? Prepared.
Ill-prepared?
Ill-prepared.
Like rivery?
Yeah, kind
rivery.
Of. Like I'm really in a different time. I'm in a time warp or something. Ill-prepared.
Ill-prepared. Well, there's a lot. There's
completely.
There's a lot going on right now in the world.
There
so
is.
There's a lot happening, and you know, there's a lot of tension. There's, but there's always tension. There's always something happening. So, I mean, I don't want to change that too much. But I think what it is, we're feeling it. Like everybody's.
Oh my.
There's this underlying suffering that people aren't sharing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of stuffing it in. Everybody's stuffing it in, and then we have these explosions, and we have these jealousies, and we have these moments of frustration, and we have, it's not good.
I know, we're both feeling that. I mean, we had that conversation this week, and, you know, I lost a couple friends over it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I was stunned. You know, I don't take sides on anything. I don't have, I just, my heart just doesn't, I can't handle it anymore. I just
mm-hmm.
can't be like that. But the only thing that I did share was that I have a hard time understanding anybody
mm-hmm.
that walks a certain walk or maybe talks a certain talk, which simply to me means, you know, you're talking about being love and you want nothing but peace and you want to bring the world together and you want the earth to be a better place and you want all of these positive, beautiful things, But then you spew vitriol or hate, or you know.
You poop on the floor.
Talk about really bad. You talk badly, really badly about other people. And
because they have a different belief than
yeah,
yours?
Right.
Or whatever.
But we all do.
And we should have different belief systems.
Of course. So I honestly, I just think I'm tongue-tied. It just hurts my heart.
Yeah.
It hurts my heart to read that. It hurts my heart to hear it,
mm-hmm.
especially from people that I consider to be my mentors, you know, and
yeah.
people who I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it's.
I don't have a problem with sides. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spreading the hate
yeah.
because that's what it is.
You know, it's one thing to have an opinion and to have, you know, beliefs and stuff. I get that. But like you're saying, then you're like, wow. And then the next turn, you're like saying, the complete opposite of what you're preaching.
I know.
So how do you find that ground? How do you find that balance? I mean, you should be able to stand up for what you believe, and I get that. I understand that.
You should. We all should do that.
But I believe there's a healthy way to do it.
I do too.
Okay, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm blind and stupid. I don't know. But I don't think so. You know, to say something because you don't agree and this and that, and just try to discredit and try to destroy. I don't know. It's just, you know, I posted something online because I just got tired of it. You know, I was just like, you know what? If I lose friends over it, that's your loss. Because, frankly, you know, if it's that important, you could at least talk to me why it's important versus why I'm wrong.
Well, I go back to the same thing. I just think that if we chose, and mm-hmm. these are all choices.
Absolutely.
If I choose to lift somebody up, regardless of whether I agree with them or not,
mm-hmm.
if I choose to lift them up, then I'm holding them in a good light.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we're supposed to be about. That is what we're teaching other people about.
Right.
You know, so I don't have to agree with you, and I don't agree on everything.
No, we don't. And that's a good thing.
You know, we don't agree on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't turn around and say hateful things about you because you don't agree with me.
Oh, why would I?
Well, I don't know, but that's what's going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not healthy for me, and that's the big part. That's what I don't know how to explain to people. It doesn't hurt the people you're saying things about.
Mm-hmm.
It actually hurts you. And that hurts me because you're hurting yourself and you don't even know that you're doing it.
I don't like when people put ultimatums on other people.
I don't either.
To be a certain way or do things a certain way.
I can't believe I'm talking about this. I said I would never talk about this, but I'm talking about this.
No, but you know, the point is you can't put ultimatums on people, you know, to change because you're doing something a certain way.
No.
You know, like my life's my life, and I have to live it regardless if you don't like it. You have to live your life how you like it.
Right.
Because, you know what, no one can live your life. No one can ever walk in another human being's shoes. Sorry. As much as people tell you that and they tell you to have empathy for them, you can't have empathy if you don't even have empathy for yourself.
Right.
You know, if you can't be empathetic about who you are as a human being on this mm-hmm. planet and not even know what shoes you're wearing when you're walking, okay? And
that's
then,
a great way to put it.
And then you act like a total jack. Because somebody doesn't like this or someone doesn't like that. That's, I don't know. I mean, those are the shadow sides of us that come out, and that's fine.
And we all have them. I understand that. But our job literally is to be able to say, I don't agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
But
people don't know how to have healthy limits and boundaries.
Let's
people don't have healthy limits and boundaries, you know?
No.
You know, I mean...
Okay, we need to talk about something good.
Love, yeah. We got to love everybody, right? Love all my relations.
You know what? We do.
You got to love everybody. You know what? No one says you have to, you know, accept the behavior.
Of course not.
No one says you have to accept
the behavior. I forgot to turn my phone off today. Sorry, folks.
Hello?
Let's see who's...
How are you?
We finally have a phone call.
Yeah, hey. We have a caller calling in.
How about that?
Welcome to the show. Maybe they're calling in for... But anyways, I think we're as human beings, we're learning to recalibrate ourselves too. We're learning to do things differently. We're learning ourselves to embrace the energies that are coming towards us right now. We're having a lot of, you know, things that are just very different than we used to. You know, we're living in a different time now where, you know, we're very, I think sometimes we're a little overprotective about who we are as a group of people, because we've had so much stuff happen to us just recently. After like 9/11, we had this conversation last week. After 9/11, the world's not the same. It hasn't. It's not been the same. We'll never be the same. All the kids that grow up after 9/11 will have no concept of what the world was like before.
Right.
You know, everything now, we're so connected, and I think that's a big problem too, Jen. That we're just overstimulated. We're super connected.
Well, I say that all the time.
We have way too much technology mm-hmm. for a short period of times that we're working. Now, I love Facebook and I love all the platforms and everything mm-hmm. that works. But you know what? Sometimes I think it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just too much. I remember when life was simple, where you actually had to go out and do it. Now you post something on Facebook and nobody responds to you, people get pissed off. People get mad. And if you post something and someone says something wrong, you get mad too, or you accept. It's like we created this other little world within a world.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
And I see more people. There's a billion people on Facebook.
Really?
There's a billion people on Facebook.
Wow.
I mean, that's a
concept
beat.
That's really hard to even wrap your head around.
Now, that's like, you know, the server capacity they have to use just to maintain that system, number one. Number two, that's like a lot of people. That's like a lot of people, you know?
Wow.
That's more than I could even fathom.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, because I've seen videos. And they'll say they have 1,648,552 mm-hmm. views. And I look at that number, and I'm like, 1 million.
Yeah.
You know, that's impressive in and of itself.
Sure.
Wow.
It's all about likes right now. It's mm-hmm. all about likes, smiley faces, emojis.
Wow.
And, you know, granted, it does have its benefits.
It's fun. I love it. I'm on Facebook.
People, you know, they communicate better. They mm-hmm. you meet new people. But, you know, but where's the threshold? Where does it end? Where does it stop? You know, mm-hmm. where's that limit? Where do you like draw the line? Where do you like say, where's the human interaction?
Well, I mean, like I said, you have to have it.
This is not human interaction. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's not.
I'm sorry, but Facebook is not human interaction.
Mm-mm.
That's not the
same
way.
No, this platform is wonderful because we can actually reach a lot of people who want to hear what we have to say.
Sure.
One, and two, that they have a forum or a platform where they too can be heard.
Sure.
If they ask us questions or they call in, that's a wonderful thing. And I love that. I love being able to participate with people. And I know most of the people that watch on Facebook, Radio Land, we don't know hardly any of them, but we're still connecting, and for one reason.
We're one in a billion.
Exactly.
You and I are just one in a billion.
That's right. And those are really great things, but without what I call community,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, it's hard.
You know, I'm not sure how it was done in the old days, because now I almost don't even remember, you know, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like something from the long past, like it doesn't even register. You know, how did we get together? We used to send letters.
Mm-hmm.
We used to make phone calls. You know,
we used to
make announcements.
Right.
You know, there was a flyer we were looking for. There used to be a whole, you know, the telephone poles. Remember the old wooden telephone poles?
Sure, I do. My dad was the phone man.
that was used mm-hmm. to communicate underground events.
Mm-hmm.
All the events. If you want an underground event, you wanted to find whatever you wanted to find, just go to the telephone pole.
Go to the telephone pole.
And now everything's buried under the ground most of the time. Mm-hmm. And now there's no more telephone poles usually
right.
in these big, unless it's a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's through this social media. And the social media, you know, it connects.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, but it connects. We're picking up from last week because mm-hmm. we left off there. But, you know, it's, where's the love in that? You know, because it's like, some people can't write. I'm not a very good writer. Okay, so my message may come across funny mm-hmm. and being mistaken. Now there are people who are very eloquent and use big words, and then I mistake their big words because I have to go look it up in the dictionary. What do you call me?
Oh, you're funny.
No, but I think we overspeak people sometimes, and then some of us can't. You know, I had a conversation with one of my clients last night on the phone, and she was really upset because, you know, people didn't understand what she was writing, how she was expressing herself. They read it like, oh, what's wrong with you, you know? Why are you so depressed? She wasn't depressed. But they just read it that way, they took it that way, and it was misinterpreted, and, you know, and it turned into a big snowball of I hate yous and, you know, and effories and stuff like that. And
well, remember when I said to you, I said, I'm not good at this texting thing. You need to call me.
Yeah.
You know, I think that voice is extremely important.
Sure, because you can hear
diction
the inflection.
Diction is important.
Diction, inflection.
Inflection is important.
Yes.
You know, and when I'm passionate about something, I want you to know I'm passionate. I cannot type in my text how passionate I am.
It doesn't matter how you write it. It'll never come across.
And so, and of course, I love what you do because you usually just, you know, video me, FaceTime me or something, you know, and that's great because you and I are both passionate about what we say and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're on one end and we're usually driving and we're like, blah, 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 blah. I never mistake
what's coming
out of your mouth. And I bet you don't ever mistake what's coming out of my mouth.
No,
we get to hear each other. We get to see each other. We get to see our expression. And that's extremely important on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Even the radio helps because at least you can hear somebody. You can hear my flexion.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear me speak. You know, you might not like what I say, but I guarantee you'll know what kind of mood I'm in when I'm saying it.
Sure. She looks like she's going to kick my butt right now.
Yeah.
She's like,
whoa. He's passionate.
Her hands like a...
I know. I told you if I had broken arms, I could not speak anymore. I couldn't. If you tied them behind my back, I would be mute. Oh,
But you're right, though. We've come to this place in society now that we have to adapt. Well, we have to adapt. I mean, Facebook is here to stay.
It is.
Twitter's here to stay.
And we're adapting. We're adapting.
And, you know, the...
We're doing both.
My dad just got a cell phone. He got an iPhone. My brother got it for him. And, you know, he's learning pretty quick. But in the beginning, he was just like... He wanted to throw that thing across the hallway, you know?
My mom has one.
You know, so it's like... That we're all being forced. We're being forced into this corral, though, which is what I don't like. That's what I don't like. I don't feel like I should have to have a computer because everybody has a computer.
Right.
Because when you go online, did you do it online? I'm like, no. Well, everything's done online. I like when I coach soccer.
Yeah.
Everything's 18-18. It's a program, and the parents have to put everything on there. They have to sign everything on there. They put everything on Hub, I guess. But, you know, what if a kid doesn't have a computer? What if they're a poor kid, you know, a poor family? Would the guy go next door to somebody's computer and do it? I don't think you should be able to be simulated into that process if you don't want to be. You should be accommodated, not forced into that. That's my opinion.
You know, I can understand
it's
that.
Like, it's like someone who wants to homeschool their kid. They should have the right to homeschool.
Of course.
You know, someone teaching their kid in the education system. If I don't want to live on a computer and I want to use cell phone, I should be able to call on my landline or show up and get a form, not be told, it's online, just download it.
Do you know that I have to pay twice as much for my landline as I do for digital phone?
Yeah, landlines are just...
They don't want you to have them anymore.
They don't want them. They want you to have these cell phones. They want you to have Wi-Fi.
I love my landline.
I think it's important. You get stuck out in the boonies.
You can't use it.
You can't use some cell phones in some places.
I know that.
Unless you have
that. Power goes out.
Yeah.
All I have to do is plug in my old princess phone, and I have a phone line.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Maybe we have to go back to ham radio.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is supposed to be an uplifting show and full of revelry, and it wasn't full of revelry tonight.
We're revering.
It was full of, I'm not sure.
If this was more like revolution and reverly.
Maybe revolution. Now there's a word. Oh boy, it's one of my favorites.
But sometimes we have to, in order to get to the revelations, we have to talk
That's
about
true.
The stuff. So sometimes to have a revelation, we have to
That's
explore
true.
Why we're not having revelation, why we're not moving into the energies that we want to move into, and why we want to have fun. Then we have to also understand that in order to have fun, we have to have preparation too.
You know, that's true.
That's all we're doing.
So,
I don't think it was negative.
No, I didn't say it was negative.
If you think the show is negative tonight, call 646-595-3440 and let us know. Give us your ear. But I know what you're, I get what you're saying.
Just please be kind. I just don't want to hear any more hate speech tonight.
And we do have a caller. We'll take them in a minute here. Go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead. Let's take the caller because I want to talk about something and it's going to take me 15 minutes to talk about it.
All right, let me get the caller. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a voice.
It's a voice.
Hey, what's going on?
I was just watching and figured I would call in. I was asking what the popcorn reading was.
So. Oh, okay.
Right now.
Popcorn reading basically is an intuitive read. It's very short and it's not long, so it's not very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a popcorn reading is.
Okay.
So if you want to read, we can give you, connect you if you have a question. Usually it's better when you have a question.
I don't know. I've been watching you. I'm actually heading out to visit the Lakota Reservation in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And was wondering kind of what I can do out there. I haven't really talked to anybody.
Well, we were just talking about it earlier.
I know we said something. We were just talking about.
So this is Steve I'm taking, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Are you Native American?
I am not. There was a legend that, you know, part of my mom's family was, but the Ancestry.com says it's not true. But I'm just, you know, want to go out there and kind of make amends if I can for, you know, hundreds of years of bad times.
Okay.
So you are Native American, and you've suffered with them. How interesting. You can talk because I'm thinking.
Well, are you going alone?
Oh, my dog's going with me.
Okay, well, that's cool.
We figured the dog would be sort of a bridge. So.
I was going to ask you about that because you're going to, which reservation are you going to?
Pine Ridge.
Oh, Pine Ridge, okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to the main where a lot of...
So I'm going to ask some questions instead of just doing a reading, if I may. Is that okay with you?
That's okay. I'm not going to look at you on the screen because it's confusing. So I'm closing my eyes and listening. So.
Okay, great. I think that's a grand idea. So can you tell me, please, why you picked Pine Ridge?
Because I got a newsletter out of the blue that said that there was a sustainable agriculture project going on out there.
There
I
is.
Looked it
it's
up
really-
and thought, sort of involved with, you know, master gardening and might be able to help some way that way.
Okay. And have you spoken to anybody there? Do they know? Are they expecting you to show up?
I have done Facebook chatting with somebody at the Slim Butte agriculture project. So I'm hoping to talk to somebody, actually, but haven't quite yet. But somebody is expecting me.
Good. I was going to ask you if you know that somebody was expecting you, that somebody is expecting you.
It's kind of important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So... So do you know how to clear yourself and keep yourself balanced?
Not exactly. I've been listening to some things, Thich Nhat Hanh, and that listening to his philosophy seems to help me kind
Good.
Of become a little bit more balanced.
And do you believe in a higher power?
I do.
Okay.
I'm confused about the whole higher power thing, but yeah, sure.
That's okay. You'll get unconfused before this life's over. So I would definitely kind of connect with my higher power, whatever you think that is, even if you're confused about it. There's our lovely train for the night. That's
a
great sign, by the way.
It is.
One moment. There's going to be another one.
The train.
So I would say to you that I'm going to just cover you with what we call traveling mercies. and ask that you talk. I mean, this is going to sound really corny, but just talk to whomever you envision this higher power, okay? I don't care if it's Earth, universe, God, whatever you think is a higher power. It could be all. It could be light, just what we were talking about. Talk to yourself, your higher self, and just say, you know, I just want my greater good served. I want to serve my greater good, and I want to serve the greater good of others. Mm-hmm. Use me as a conduit of love, a peacemaker. Keep me safe and protected. Listen to your voice. I don't know whether you listened to last week's radio program, but we talked about that still small voice within us. At the table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's our intuition. And it's very, very important that you listen to that. And I say that because if something feels like you should not go there, like if you're walking through the woods and you turn to the right and all of a sudden you get a weird feeling, go back. Don't continue going. Okay? I feel like that what you're doing is honorable, but at the same time, I think you're going to be tested.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that it's kind of big in your life. And I want you to be prepared. I want you to be safe. I want you to keep safety in the forefront of your mind. And remember to listen to your own self. Your self has all these answers. I promise you, all your answers are already in there. And they're trying to find their way out. And boy, this is going to sound really tacky, but you don't owe anybody an apology. You didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to tell you that straight out. You do not owe anybody an apology. You didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I'm just trying to make the world better.
That's a beautiful thing, and I respect and I'm humbled by that statement. And I honor you for trying to make the world a better place. You're in a good group of people. We're all trying to do that. And I so respect that. But while doing that, you make that world a better place because that's who you are. You are a divinely created man helping to make the world a better place. That does not mean being apologetic. When you're apologetic to somebody, that means that you did something that you shouldn't have done, and that's not who you are. So go with goodness, go with your honor that you are trying to make the world a better place by being the person that you are, which is a beautiful, beautiful man. And I hope that helped.
Well, thank you.
Listen to your voice. Listen to your voice.
I will
and let us know
in.
What happens. We really want to know. Mm-hmm. Keep us posted, please.
I shall.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Blessings.
Thank you, Steve.
Mercy,
thanks.
Traveling mercy.
Mm.
Wow. What a place. He's going to a phenomenal place. I didn't even talk about the energy at that place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked him if he knew how to clear himself.
I think he's just trying to make atonements for ancestral stuff.
I understand.
Not necessarily, maybe not him, but, and I think that's a common thread. But I think...
But at some point in time, we have to know that we've done this.
I think...
And let it heal.
My belief is that maybe instead of asking for forgiveness for what happened, maybe he should ask for forgiveness for the errors of his family's ways. And like, there's a difference, you know, where you're actually, you think you're going there to help, ask for forgiveness, but actually the forgiveness should be that, you know, the ancestors, his ancestors, if he thinks he did them, you know.
If that's what he thinks. I just didn't feel that.
I think the ceremony should be the opposite. Sometimes I think it's the other way. I think it's instead of saying, hey, you know what, we screwed up. You killed all your people. No, instead of saying, well, you know, ancestors, you know, you didn't know any better. You killed them, or vice versa. Everyone will have their own opinion on this, mm-hmm. on this forum. You have your opinion, I have mine. And sometimes I think to have a ceremony for both, to bring them together. You know, there's an old mm-hmm. saying that, who told me this? I forget. I have to remember because I want to give them credit. But they told me that, the Native Americans, when they died, they came back as a certain group, and then I'm trying to think of how this. I have to remember. Let me think about that.
Okay.
But there was an old saying of how we come back from past lives,
mm-hmm.
and then we come to live as white the white man, the white man comes to live. There's
how
an old,
interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard similar.
Yeah, there's an old, and I have to remember that because I lost it when I was thinking about what he was talking about.
I just think sometimes that we talk about, don't live in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Be here now. Okay. And we really talk a lot about that. There's books written about
sure.
it all over the place. And we preach it. We teach it. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know why he's feeling that way.
Oh, okay.
This is only my mm-hmm. theory, and never been proven. It's never been documented anywhere that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just a big walking, talking memory stick.
Oh, I know.
Of information.
We are.
Okay, so.
And not just this. I mean, forever. It's
you know.
Past
yeah,
it,
and
right.
people talk about past lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a memory stick of
right.
our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's feeling. Me personally, he's feeling the residual, that energy, that stuff that's been passed down genetically through his genetic makeup forever,
right.
through his DNA,
mm-hmm.
through his cells, through his body, through his mind. And every time he procreates, that same stuff goes. So the cool thing about it is, if he has children, we'll say, or if he even has adopted children, he's passing a new lineage,
right.
a new forgiving lineage to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time when he does that ceremony within himself,
right.
that ceremony moves into a new category.
I agree.
And then we don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it moves on.
Mm-hmm.
But when we hold resentment and anger about
right.
what happened, we keep passing that same resentment and anger over and over and over. So
that's why I say you have to heal. If you keep.
How do you heal? How do you heal wounds that were so real back then with the people who are present who, and they've taught generation after generation the history because they don't want to forget. You never want to forget. You want to forgive and move on, but you still always want to be on. You always want to be cautious. And a lot of it's being cautious. I know this because the things I've been taught about how things were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a European mentality of view of it and also have a Native American mentality view of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mixed bag for me. You know, it's a mixed bag. Let's just leave it at that. But the memory stick, I really truly
You're
believe.
Right. I know.
I truly believe that you know we feel.
Well, you know, science has already told us that they figured it out. And I mean, this is an article I read what 2 or 3 months ago. I thought I said something about D, but maybe I didn't. But I did to somebody. But anyhow, it was fascinating. You know, it's scientific community and they talked about. We all know we have cellular, what we call cellular memory.
Right.
And so when you're hurt, you know, that lives in our cells and da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they have figured out that just like mannerisms are actually hereditary.
They're passed on.
They're passed on. Mannerisms, folks.
Yep.
This isn't learned behavior. This is actually in our gene pool.
You are not who you think you are.
I know. It's absolutely flipping amazing, isn't it? And so... Now they have said that not only are mannerisms hereditary, it's
mm-hmm.
in your gene pool,
mm-hmm.
but so are memories. It's they say that it's proven. And
yeah.
this is how some of these things are trickling in there.
I believe that.
I do too. It sounds corny.
Oh, I believe that's a whole show in itself. Cause
no,
I'll tell
it
you,
is.
Cause I love
I
that
know.
Stuff.
I do
you
too.
Know, there are people who are really past life regressors.
Right.
You know, and they really work on,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding basically, what they're doing is they're going back in time into the
mm-hmm.
into the avenues of your
right.
cell memory. Okay, so who you think you are? Oof. It's interesting because it breaks down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you have a mom and a dad. Okay, you have brothers and sisters, and they don't all
they're
have.
They're all so different.
And they're all so different, but they all carry different messages,
mm-hmm.
different sequences,
That's
different
exactly right.
different whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they create their own memories along the way, and then they. They actually, they also dispose.
Mm-hmm.
They also move out. They heal, or they put something else in that place.
It was one of my jobs.
Yeah, they
one
put
of my
something
jobs
else.
Was to stop certain things
yeah.
in my lifetime.
Sure.
So I did not pass those things on.
And
any
that's
further.
That's important because
mm-hmm.
you know what, the predisposition may be there, but it's your job to change it. And if you change it,
it's my job to change it.
But and sometimes I think it doesn't have to actually be. Because time is an illusion, so it doesn't happen
right.
like the way we look at it. So if we are still able to, even if we didn't do it before our kids were born, we can still go back and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And then that fixes things in this quantum universe that we don't really
right.
have a clue how it really works. We have ideas.
Right.
And we have hypotheses and all
mm-hmm.
these things, but there is things that science just cannot explain.
Right, exactly.
Number one, science can't explain why the universe is still expanding.
Exactly, I know.
Okay,
yeah.
Science can't. It should be collapsing back upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's growing exponentially.
Right.
It's growing bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a debunked of science. Science can't prove that. Science can have their theories of why it's doing it. Because it's an expansive universe.
Right.
It has always been an expansive universe.
I know.
This universe keeps growing because it was always growing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in the divinities, there's more than one. There's two. There has to be two in order to procreate something. Why would you explode? Why would you have an explosion?
Wait, is this another show?
Why would you have this explosion, the Big Bang? Why would you have the Big Bang if you had to create something? It's because the sperm and the egg met in the universe, universal galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
we are actually
more than we give ourselves credit.
Oh, we are indeed. Oh, we are indeed.
Yeah.
Mm.
We're more than we give ourselves credit.
Okay. I love that. Pine Ridge. Wow.
I think him hit Steve connecting with somebody there before he goes there is vitally important.
I do too. That's why I said that.
It's not always the best scenario to go by yourself. Just pop in. It's not good.
Not there.
No.
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 You know, I actually.
It's like another.
Put that out there. You really shouldn't go to any
Indian
reservation without an invitation.
That's like going to a foreign country.
Bingo. There
yeah,
you go.
It is actually a country
mm-hmm.
within a country. So just respect, out of respect, you know, you can actually call their consulate. They have I don't forget what they call it. It's not a consulate, but they do have an affairs.
It's affairs.
Yeah, Indian affairs.
Indian affairs.
Yeah, Indian affairs. And, you know, you have to document where you're traveling to. You can't just pop in.
No.
It's not good. But, yeah, let me see if anybody's in the chat room here.
We have
any questions?
Good friends.
Yeah, we have a caller here. Let's take mm-hmm. a caller. Yeah, we have good friends, absolutely. Hello, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my phone call.
How's it going? What's your name?
My name is Ann.
Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank
you. What's going
on? I was going to ask you, so you provide intuitive reading souls?
Yeah.
Well,
just let us know what's on your mind.
Yeah, the first few months, you know, maybe the 6 months was very difficult and for some reason. And I was wondering if things will improve. What do you see for me?
She's asking the first couple of months were a little difficult for her. She wanted to know if things will improve.
Actually, it's been like 6 months difficult.
Six months? She's having difficulty. You have been having difficulties for about, what, 6 months, you said?
Well, many different things that were not going in the right direction.
Okay. And you're trying to figure out if you're going to go in a better direction.
No, I'm trying to figure out if things will improve because, you know, I just don't know if there will be an improvement sooner or it will be like this for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Do you know what rounding is?
Excuse me?
She wanted to know if you know what ground to ground.
If I ground? No,
yeah.
I don't. I don't know how to ground.
Okay.
One of the fastest ways is to take your shoes off, go outside.
Well, that's true. So did you hear what AD said about grounding?
Yeah, I take mm-hmm.
Okay. Grounding is actually extremely important. Did you hear us talking about those chakras in our bodies as energy centers earlier?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So one of those energy centers is called your root chakra. And and yours is actually really closed. You're living up in your head. You're crying a lot. You're teary-eyed. You're sad. You're all up in your head. And you need to get down here on earth. You need to know that you are here on earth, and you need to be present in your body. You need to truly be present in your body and in your home and in your life. So I really would find some wood to walk in, or, you know, go out in nature, put my bare feet on the ground. I would smell some dirt. I would think about trees. I would do whatever I could do to find some nature and know that you are part of that, that you are part of nature. Sit down on the ground, feel it. It's really important for you to get grounded right now. If you need to go to some energy worker and get grounded, you need to go do that. If you live around Columbus, make an appointment with me. I'll ground you. If you don't, you know, call me or one of us, and we'll find somebody wherever you're at. But it's important for you to ground. And so my intuitive reading for you actually is that nothing's going to get better until you get better, and you're not living in the moment. You're not living in your body. You're not present where you're at. You need grounded so you can get out of your head. You can leave your head in the clouds, but your feet have to be on the ground, and you're not doing the work on the ground. And I know that sounded very like a teacher, but boy, I'm just really passionate about it, because that's where you're at. And you have so much good stuff waiting for you. I mean, it's like right around the bend, but you're not going to see it because you're caught up in not being here, not being present. So you're going to miss out if you don't come down out of your head and get your feet firmly planted on the ground. Okay, there you go.
I also, like you said something earlier about her taking care of herself.
Yeah.
You're not, your priorities aren't for you. You're not like putting yourself first.
Right.
And that's what's, I'm picking up spiritually, and spirit's kind of leading me that way. You need to get outside. You need to do things a little bit more. Things are not going to look good right now, just the way they are. You've brought some things into your life that just, they're not working for you, but it doesn't mean they can't be fixed and you can't move out of it. You're just going to have to make some serious adjustments. You're going to have to look at things a lot differently than you've been looking at them. Because if we get stuck in that premise that things are not good for the last whatever, we're going to create more of that. Okay, so you're going to have to listen to how you're talking to yourself. Your self-talk isn't moving you into the right position to, you know, create the authority that you need. And you know what you want. You know what you need. But you're not doing that. You're something's holding you back. I don't know what it is. I can feel it because I can feel it over here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I'm burping it up too. You're not speaking your true voice about how you truly feel. Whoever you're talking to is not giving you the best advice about things. I don't know who that is and what that is. They're not. You're going to get stuck in the rut with people who get stuck in the rut. You're going to have to go outside. Like Jan said, if you need to ground, you need to find somebody, a massage therapist, a person who lays on hands, somebody that will help you move some of those meridian points, that energy points in your body, and dislodge them, because they're stuck. There's energy that are stuck in your gut, okay, in your throat, and sometimes in your heart. We need to move that. But you're going to have to do the work. Jan's correct. She's absolutely right. You're going to have to do the work. No one else is going to do the work. No one's just going to pop in miraculously and do it for you. Okay? No one's going to sweep you off your feet if you're not sweeping your own self off the feet. Okay, Ann?
Okay. Thank you so much for your advice. Thank you both. Yeah, I'll try to ground, try to find nature, trees, and ground. Thank you so much. I appreciate your advice.
Yeah, and thanks for being courageous and calling.
Thank you.
We appreciate
blessings,
you.
Blessings.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. You know, that's hard to call total strangers and say, hey, you know, she doesn't know us from, you know, from Adam, you know, or Eve, whatever you want to call it.
Thank you.
Some will take Lilith, but.
I know. It is hard. I agree. It takes mm-hmm. great courage to reach out and ask for help.
Sure.
And it is hard because I lived up there for a long time, you know, in my head. You know,
and we have
so sensitive.
And we have
you're
moments
so
like
sensitive.
That. And we have moments like that.
Of course we do.
We have moments like
I saw
that.
The ground.
I have
every
the ground
day
too,
when
you know.
I wake up, I ground.
It's like boom, you know, just when you think you're doing all right, you know, it tests your mantle. How fast can you get back into your own into your own space? Because you're right, we can go up here. I've been up here.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been down there, you know.
Me too. Me too.
It really depends. And it all is, like you said, it's a decision too. We have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to move out of it or don't want to move out of it? Sometimes we become addicted. We become addicted to ourselves and our misery.
You know, I just want to share this. I want to share this story real quick. Mm-hmm. Nothing I ever do is real quick, so sorry. I also realized I have a really squeaky chair.
she has
a squeaky chair. So, grounding, okay? So, I was in Asheville, North Carolina, I think. No, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was at a level 5.
Mm-hmm.
Healing Touch class, my last one,
mm-hmm.
and you work three people. You have one person on the table, two people are healers working on you.
Okay.
And I'm telling the story, and I know that the girl that I'm telling the story about would not mind at all about me telling this story. I've already checked with her in my head, and so I know it's okay.
We'll change her name.
Her name actually is Franny. I'll tell you exactly what her name is. She works at Shriners Children's Hospital. She's a phenomenal healer
mm-hmm.
and just a blessing of a person to know.
Mm-hmm.
So a shout out to her. She has a rough job, and she takes her job, and she lifts those children up every day of her life. And she will tell you every morning, she says, I am happy to be at Shriners. And, wow, what joy is that? So Franny and another girl named Bobby and I were three people working together. And we kind of flipped a coin to see who was going to get on the table first, and I got to get on the table first. And so I knew Bobby was down here, down around my hip area, and Franny was behind my head. And I don't know what she was doing back there, you mm-hmm. know, but her heart was good. But yet, I could not relax. I could not relax.
Hmm.
And finally, I just opened my eyes and I put up the symbol for time out. And I sat up. And they're both looking at me like, what? You know, we've already attuned in everything, you know, all the steps that we go through in this
right.
class.
Okay.
And I said, well, I don't know what to say, but Franny, when's the last time you grounded?
Hmm.
And she said, well, you know, right before we did this. And I said, then tell me how you ground. And she said, well, you know, just like you do. Because one of the jobs as a healer, as a practitioner,
mm-hmm.
is to ground before I ever start working. It's
right.
extremely important
sure.
to a healer to be grounded before you start any energy session. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how is that? And she couldn't tell me. I said, Franny, you are so far from grounded, it's not even funny. You are way up here, and you can't work on me
mm-hmm.
because you can't work on me. You're not grounded.
Yeah, well, it won't work.
And she says, well, what do I do? And I said, get on the table. So we traded places. So Franny got on the table, and Bobby and I worked on Franny. And I have to tell you that Franny probably hadn't been grounded. I think she said that she really had felt like that for about 20-some years.
Wow.
And come to find out, I asked her, I said, oh, before we grounded her, okay, I asked her, Franny, when's the last time that you walked outside barefoot with dug your toes in the dirt? And she said, oh, I don't do that.
Mm.
And she said that she lived or something above a funeral home when she was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And they dug graves or whatever, and she really had a hang up about dirt. And, you know, so I said, well, okay then. So then we worked on her. And she did need grounded. That poor girl really needed grounded.
Yeah, 20 years.
And I would, you know what, we'll have to interview her sometime, because the way she tells the story about being grounded, you guys would crack up. It would be revelry for certain. Mm-hmm. And she'll actually be up here in October, so maybe we can get her on the show, or maybe even before that. Amazing girl. So anyhow, make a long story short, I'm gonna save the interview for her, because her telling you about getting grounded. But I will tell you that the next day, she said, "I can't wait to take my shoes off and walk in that grass."
Mm-hmm.
She had not felt on the earth in almost 20 years, she said.
Really?
She couldn't remember the last time she felt like she was actually supposed to be on the earth.
Wow.
She lived up here in her heaven, as mm-hmm. she calls it. And she didn't want to be here. She had a struggle being here, you know. And I remember what that was like, because I was like that for a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be here. And now she's present. She's present in her body. Her life is so different. She can handle things differently. She sees things differently. She's on the earth. She's present in her body, and it makes her life easier.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, I'm not kidding you, folks, it's extremely important to get balanced. Wow, isn't that wild how mm-hmm. we started out with,
yeah,
you know, balance, and here we are back at balance.
And, you know, I was wondering, too, you know, we use that word ground to get grounded.
Right.
You know, we use that word also to, when kids get grounded.
Oh, I don't. I never.
No, but
I
you
never
know,
grounded
but you know, you're grounded. And so I'm thinking.
Oh wow.
I'm thinking, wow, that's maybe that's why people don't get it, because that's been
oh,
a word
wow.
that's been used a lot, you know.
I don't know. I never grounded my kids.
No, but I'm just saying there are people who've been grounded.
I guess there are, yeah.
And so I'm thinking, I wonder if it's a trigger for some people, that word,
grounded.
To be grounded.
Wow, Iggy, I never thought about that. Well, you have to tell us, folks.
I don't know. That's,
is that a trigger word
I don't
for
know.
People?
I'm just curious, because I can see that. To be grounded means you're not able to get up. Like if you're a pilot, you've been grounded.
You've been grounded. You can't
so
fly.
You can't fly. So if I'm grounded,
wow.
And you know, you're talking about being in your head.
Yeah.
You know, the pilot wants to fly, wants to be up there. So all of a sudden, now I'm grounded, you know, and I can't fly.
Wow. You know, I really, really love that thought. I mean, that's outside the box. I love
well,
being
maybe,
out there.
You know, that's kind of how I think. That's how I process, because I'm thinking, wow, maybe
well, it
somebody...
It triggered you.
Well, we never used grounded. We just got spanked.
Oh, gee.
Bah, it was over.
That'll ground you.
Yeah, that'll ground me. But, you know, I know that word because we use it in our kids. You're grounded.
Mm, you
You're
did,
grounded.
Yeah.
You know, you're grounded for 6 weeks.
I don't want to be grounded for 6 weeks. That's what I always figured. I figured if I grounded my kids, I was punishing myself.
Yeah.
I mean, gee, many Christmas. No, I like to deal with things in the moment.
But it's interesting, though, when you think about it, you know, that just hit me. Just it came to me, like, right now.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Somebody
out there is going, grounded? I don't want to be grounded.
And Iggy's going, what?
I want to fly. Oh, I love to fly.
Yeah.
Except not for real in an airplane, but I love to fly in my dreams. Wow, isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's love and light.
Yeah. So... we're winding down, guys. So we're getting ready to wrap up the show because I'm almost out of time again.
I know.
They go by so fast. So we hope you enjoyed everything tonight.
I do. I do.
What would you like to leave with the listeners or the viewers?
I just was going to ask if you have any other topics or anything you really want us to talk about other than classroom material that we don't want to share everything we know. But just different topics and you know, I just want to put this out there because I can't wait till it happens. We really like to hear your stories.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have stories. All of us have stories. And we want to know yours. You know, if you have a story about love that consumed you, or you have a story about maybe seeing an angel or seeing light or, you know, showing up someplace when you didn't think you should, but yet it was the best thing in the world, you know. Parapsychology, that's what they call it. But, you know, there's paranormal things. You know, we want to know about those things.
Your,
we want you to share.
Your cryptozoology, that's too.
Do what?
Your cryptozoology. Your Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
UFOs, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I have two girlfriends from grade school that, you know, we saw a UFO. We talk about it still. Scared us to death. scared us to death. And we all went different directions to go home. And it followed all three of us home.
Wow.
We all swear to that.
That's crazy.
And I think we were in eighth grade. And I truly was scared. And I mean, we all had to walk like a mile home. We lived in the country. And yes. And it hovered. I mean, I know exactly what I saw.
Absolutely.
And I know that it was there because I know me. And I know me. And I thought, you are not getting me. There is no way.
And here I am. I'm like, take me because that would be kind of interesting. But I don't know. I might regret it later.
Yeah, not me. I was very grounded then.
I might regret that one later.
No, I was firmly on this earth then. And I remembered. And I thought, no. I have a job to do here. I am not going there. The only thing that I was going to talk about, which now I'm not, and we'll save that for another time, I was going to get into talking about our trip across the United States.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that next week then.
Yeah. So, yeah, we want to start talking about that. And, I mean, it's a year and a half away, but nonetheless, it is going to come.
We're going to have a guest, too. I haven't told you yet.
Oh, great.
So
who's going to be our guest?
His name is Moon Eagle. So he'll be on.
Oh, wonderful.
So he'll be calling in.
Great.
So we're going to patch him through on the phone.
So we're going to have a guest, Moon Eagle,
mm-hmm.
and next week?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
We'll talk about your stuff, and then we'll bring him on.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. We'll do whatever
he
we
want.
He
wants to share what he's been doing. So.
Oh, good. And anybody else that would like to, you know, get interviewed on the show, let us know.
Let us know, because we're getting a list now. The list is starting to grow.
Yes,
people,
it is.
People are, like, really liking what's going on and what we're doing with all the shows on Wednesday nights and My Sage Place and Iggy Garcia Live. We're rocking and rolling. All right, guys. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being here, Jan. Thanks for being here with me.
Thank
for
you,
these 90 minutes, and I really appreciate you. And I appreciate you guys for being with us and spending time with us, and, you know, call us in next time. Share with us, even on the chat, or share with us on the phone lines. Even after the show, give us a call. We really appreciate you. Much love. Be well, guys.
Okay.
Very good.